July 18th, 2005, item number 64. Today's guests are Walt Mossberg and Katie Barrett from the Wall Street Journal.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Walt and Katie, a couple quick news and notes. First, started listening to Phil Gordon's World Series of Poker podcast, and as I mentioned in a previous podcast, I'm starting to play poker more regularly now in these tournaments that they have here in Kansas City, and although I really am not very good yet at tournament play, I found, you know, Phil Gordon's World Series of Poker podcast to give a lot of good insight. So if you're into poker, I would highly recommend you check out Phil Gordon's podcast, and I will have a link to it in the show notes as always. Today's interview was inspired from an article that Walt Mossberg wrote in the Wall Street Journal about a week and a half ago. It was titled, "Podcasting is Still Not Quite Ready for the Masses." And reading the article, I realized that Walt and Katie had both gone out and created their own podcast. And I said, "Ah, great, I can have them on the show." And I contacted them, and they were willing to come right on and be interviewed for the show. And I really like to thank them for coming on, because I think this gives an insight into what some people in big media are thinking about podcasting. So listen, they've got some really good comments here, and you really need to take to heart some of the things they say. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Walt Mossberg, he is one of the foremost writers on technology in the world. He writes three articles for the Wall Street Journal each week. And if you haven't read his articles, I highly recommend you go to the Wall Street Journal and check out some of his articles. I'll have a link to where his articles are located in the show notes. Here's the interview with Walt and Katie. Here we go. Walt and Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Glad to be here.
First question I always ask is, what was your first computer?
Well, I'm a lot older than Katie, and probably you. My first computer was a Timex Sinclair. It had 1K of memory, and it cost $99, and you had to spend another $99 to bring it up to 16K. That's K, not megabyte of memory. Katie, what was your first computer?
My first personal computer, I guess, was a Toshiba satellite laptop, but it was not too long ago. That was, what, like 9 years ago?
There you go.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I think it was the Don and Drew show, and I listened to one episode of it a few months ago. It wasn't that long ago. And I don't know about you, Katie.
What was that before D? Because the first one I heard was the one that Steve Jobs did with you reading your column, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, mine was before D.
Okay, well, that's the first one I heard.
Just to see what it was like. When Katie says D, D is the name of a conference that I co-produce every spring for the Journal, where we have sort of the major leaders of the technology business on stage, and Steve Jobs usually appears, and he did this year, and he sometimes introduces something new there, and this year our conference was the forum he used to announce the podcasting features in iTunes. So for his demo on stage, he asked me if I would do a prototype podcast. And I recorded myself, Apple recorded me reading one of my columns. He then used it as part of his demo. And he had a few other podcasts that he played little pieces of. So that might have been the first time, I guess, a lot of our attendees at the conference had been introduced to it.
Now, you were sitting there at the dinner. I saw the picture with you and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. So
right.
When Steve Jobs was up talking about podcasting, did Bill Gates say anything about podcasting at that point in time?
No, I was on stage with
okay.
Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay.
Because the way the conference works is, along with my co-producer, Kara Swisher, I interview everyone on stage. There's no speeches. This particular conference is done as a series of conversations, interviews conducted by me and my co-producer on stage. So I was not sitting next to Gates when Steve did that introduction.
At the conference, did you get any feedback from any of the people that were there about what they were thinking about podcasting after it was introduced?
I didn't, because just by the nature of the event, when you are the producer and the MC and the onstage interviewer, you're pretty much busy. And so I didn't have too much time to schmooze with people about what they thought about it. I mean, I realize podcasting had been around long before our conference. I'm not trying to suggest our conference was a seminal event in the history of podcasting, other than that Steve Jobs just chose to use it to introduce this important step. But, I mean, I realized that, you know, there's a leading edge of techies and enthusiasts who tend to get into these things before the general public. And I, you know, my mission in my columns and is to write for the average non-techie user. So there's usually a period of time when I think something is just too rough and, you know, obscure to tell people about it. And then I do introduce them to it. And in this case, Katie and I did, Katie particularly did a good deal of testing, and it was clear to us that it was worth explaining to readers, mostly because Apple had put it in a program that many, many of them have and use. But it was also incumbent on us to mention that it just isn't anywhere near as far along as regular text blogs in terms of the ability of a normal, non-techie person using the tools they're familiar with to create a podcast and to get one online.
Yeah, I mean, from the time I first heard about podcasting back in October to the time I was actually able, or started listening in October, until the time I was able to get my podcast up, it was almost 2 months to get everything together, go and get a website, and things are a little bit easier today. I mean, there are some services such as Libsyn and Podlot that allow you to help. GarageBand didn't, obviously, what you guys used didn't have that option back then. It's getting easier.
I think we were amazed by how difficult it was, really. Walt wrote about this in the column. Mm-hmm. About how we had tested out creating blogs, which is, you know, so much more common. But we had done that a couple of weeks ago in a column, and how easy that was. And in comparison, this was just much too techy for the average person to do, even with the iTunes help, which is what we said in the column. But, yeah, it still has a long way to go.
No.
I mean, anything that requires you to learn how to use sound recording software, and I know some of it is simple, but most people do not have it on their computer, or they don't know they have it on their computer.
Right.
Most people with desktop computers, for instance, and that's still by far the majority of computers, don't even have a microphone. It's the part of the computer they tend to leave in the box when they set the computer up, if it even came with a microphone. If their monitor has a built-in microphone, they probably don't know it does. That's the first problem. The second problem is you've got to get it hosted. You have to have a website. You have to have some place to put it. I know there are a few of these things, like GarageBand, that was the one we mentioned, which will host your podcast, but it's not well known to people, and, you know, it's difficult. And then you've got to figure out a way to syndicate it. You have to understand what your sort of RSS or Atom XML URL is, even to get it up on iTunes, which is relatively simple, but you have to know a little technical knowledge even to fill out that form. And most people don't really understand the difference between the main URL for a site and the RSS one. So it's very different. I mean, if you think about where text blogs have gotten to, you can go to MSN Spaces, you can go to Blogger, and they're free services that include everything. They include the tools for creating it, which is, of course, is just a text editor and a photo uploader. They host it for free. You don't have to think about anything to do with hosting or creating a site. They syndicate it for free and give you a personalized URL, and they have really easy tools for updating it. And so that has actually hit mainstream. I don't think podcasting, and this is nothing against podcasting, but I don't think it has hit mainstream yet. I think the Apple development of including it in a very popular, easy-to-use program like iTunes helps on the last step, although it's still not perfect, to move this thing toward the mainstream. But I'm not ready, and I think Katie's not ready to declare it mainstream yet.
A lot of people I know don't get it, still don't get what a podcast is. You know, I'm trying to explain it as vlogging using audio in some way, but people just don't get that.
There's a lot of people who are perfectly computer savvy and still wouldn't know how to do a podcast, and when they first encounter the concept, don't actually get it. And I'm talking about people in their 20s. I mean, Katie is in her 20s, and her friends are, and it's not an age thing, and it's not a you know, something about being technophobic. It's just too hard at the moment. But I'm sure that'll change. I wouldn't be surprised if in 6 or 9 months it looks very different. It always does.
Yeah, there's a couple of services that have come out recently that help quite a bit that weren't available a few months ago. like I mentioned Libsyn earlier, where you can just go and you can upload a file, an audio file, and then click QuickCast, and it turns it into a podcast. There's another one that's in beta testing right now called PodBlaze, which is a similar thing. You know, the downside is you lose control of the namespace and things like that, but if you don't mind that and you're looking to get a podcast up about your family, your upcoming wedding, I've talked to a couple of couples recently that are podcasting the whole engagement all the way up until the wedding. As a matter of fact, they even recorded the engagement.
Oh, jeez.
That's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, we are geeks, and you had mentioned early adopters. I always call people that are at the beginning of podcasting lunatic fringe, and then you led into the early adopters, and now we're starting to get into the growth in more mainstream with iTunes release.
So interesting. This need for people to share their lives with the rest of the world, I think, is just kind of becoming strange. I don't know.
It's with reality TV. I mean, what are the most popular shows on TV or reality TV?
It's amazing.
No, I'm sure you're right. It's just, but it is a little odd. That's all.
And there are podcasts that, as you wrote in your article, that there's reasons why these people are not picked up by big media, and there's some that are better than anything I've heard in big media. So you get the full spectrum. Wichita Rutherford, 5 minutes at Wichita. He got picked up by Sirius Satellite, starting out as a podcaster.
Right.
So and that'll happen. There'll be more. The Mommy Cast was just signed by Podshow. And it's just two mothers and just talking about raising kids.
And cool.
So what are your plans for podcasting going forward? Are you going to continue to do podcasts?
Well, I'll speak for me. I have no plans to do it right now. And there's a reason for that. And that is, I think podcasts and blogs are wonderful ways for people to publish their views who don't happen to be among the very, very small percentage of people who are carried in the mainstream media. I happen to be carried in the mainstream media, and I get to write three columns a week in the Wall Street Journal and, you know, a magazine column once a month, and I'm on television every week on CNBC. So I'm sort of the last person whose views are underrepresented or unheard. So I don't feel this compelling need to do it. I do have a blog that I update maybe every few weeks about baseball, which I actually started as part of my research for a column, but I do kind of tend to it periodically. But I don't plan to do either heavy-duty blogging or any podcasting. Now, that could change, but at the moment, I'm not doing it. How about you, Katie? What are you going to do?
Well, I think I feel the same way. It's just more of a kind of a hassle, something that I have to remember to do right now. At least that's how I feel about the blog that I started because of one of our columns. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel the need to do it all the time.
If you add up all the jobs, all the available slots in all of the mainstream media, radio, television, print, which has actually expanded quite a bit in the last 10 years, but still it's a very limited number of people that get on the air or get into print. I believe that in a country as large as ours, and not to mention the whole world, there are obviously lots of people just as talented with just as much to say who don't happen to have jobs in the mainstream media, and blogging and the web in general and now podcasting are all great avenues for people like you who might have in another life been on the radio and now can essentially do it through a non-traditional route. And that's what's great about it. That's why I'm all for it. But it just, for somebody like me who happens to be in the tiny number that gets on television and gets in print, I don't see the need for me to have another avenue, at least at the moment.
And to be honest, when it comes to technology reporting, you're the most widely known name in the world.
Well, I do have a lot of readers. Thank you. I do have a lot of readers. And so it's not like the world's being deprived of Walt Mossberg. Although, you know, I mean, maybe someday it will seem like a sensible thing to do. I could be doing it in a year. Who knows? Jobs on the stage at D predicted that I would have a podcast inside of a year, but we'll see. I told him he was nuts, but you never know.
If not you, definitely, Katie, I would assume that you will be podcasting a little bit more. You got into the newspaper world, so you like the whole media environment.
Yeah, but there's a difference between, I'm different from Walt in this sense. I just value my privacy a lot. So I find that blogging and podcasting in some ways would have to, you know, kind of expose you to everyone else. And I'm just not a big fan of that. So that's probably why I'm not as likely to do that.
Yep, my privacy is destroyed anyway.
it's funny you mentioned the privacy, because I talk to a lot of couples that are podcasting, and one of the advices I give to them when I do in the interviews is, if they've just started out, is don't give out their last names. You know, you have to treat it like you're on the radio or television and have some anonymity to yourself, because there is the concern about people out there, and a lot of people are getting into podcasting and don't realize that, hey, they're giving out their name, they're giving out the city they live in, and they're giving out way too much information.
That's right.
Once it's out there, you can't get it back.
No, not at all.
No, that's right. So it's where, you know, even I don't give out certain details, although I'm pretty easy to find at this point, unfortunately. But there's no reason for Katie starting out, if she's not interested in doing that, to do it.
Oh, and it's definitely, it's not something I tell people to do if you're not really into it. I mean, podcasting is much more difficult time-wise to create a podcast than it is to create a blog, and it always will be. We call it the 5 minutes to create a blog versus an hour for a podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other advice you'd like to offer to people that are looking at doing a podcast? Anything that you would like to say to the podcasters to make it easier for you?
You know, my advice to people who absolutely want to do a podcast now is to be prepared for a lot of hassles getting started, and, you know, search around for the tools you need to do it. My advice for people who may be casually thinking about it, who are not techies, is wait. Wait till next year, or the end of this year, or at some point when something like Blogger or MSN Spaces, or even those services themselves, somebody does something where it's kind of a one-stop shop, and you can much more easily do it.
Okay, Katie, any advice?
I second what Walt said.
Well, Katie, we need to get you podcasting. I have to bug you and get you a podcasting.
Yeah.
It won't work. Trust me.
Okay. Oh, one last question, and then I will end here. Katie, does Walt give you pressure to switch over to a Mac?
No, but he has recently mentioned that I might need a new computer, and I might as well just get a Mac, so we'll see. I use two computers every day, so I might, well, three, I guess.
She has two different Windows computers that she uses for complicated reasons that have to do with the IT system here. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, I am not 100% on the Mac. I have roughly an equal number of PCs and Macs, and I use both every day.
But based on your articles, you sure do seem you seem to get more pleasure out of the Mac.
Well, my position is that for the audience that I write for mm-hmm. mainstream, non-technical consumers who are not in some business niche or doing something specialized that Windows is required for, my position, and I've stated it many times, is that the Mac operating system is better, the computers are better, it does more common things better, and it's more secure, and you don't have to screw around with viruses and spyware. So, yeah. That's my plain position, that Mac is the superior choice for average consumers right now. But I don't pressure Katie about it.
Okay.
So.
Just curious.
All right.
Well, thank you both for your time today.
All right.
And, take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that concludes our interview with Walt and Katie from the Wall Street Journal. Thank you both so much for coming on the show. The information you gave was very insightful, and I really appreciate your time. Again, it was great talking with you. As I mentioned earlier, I'll have a link to Walt's articles in the Wall Street Journal in our show notes. You can find them at podcast411.com. And any questions, rants, raves, concerns, comments, please send them to podcast411@gmail.com. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that me and my wife were trying to have children, and we started trying and said if anybody had any advice to go ahead and send us some feedback. And today's promo at the end from the He Said, She Said podcast has a little bit of that advice mixed in the promo. Thank you guys for the advice. And everyone, please stick around to listen to that. Coming up on the next show, we're going to be interviewing CeCe Chapman from the Pod Show Network and the PodSafe Music Network and Accident Hash podcast. CeCe was the third person we ever interviewed for his old podcast, Reality Bitch Slap Radio, and this will be the first time we talk to him about Accident Hash. So please come back on Wednesday the 20th to listen to that podcast. As I mentioned at the end of last show, I'll mention it again, we were nominated for the top rated category in the Podcast Awards. So please go over to podcastawards.com and vote for us. And like I said, more importantly, vote for those podcasts that have been on here previously. Israelisms is another podcast that had been on here. Dawn and Drew, Daily Source Code. So go ahead and vote for them. Just don't vote for Daily Source Code in the top rated. Vote for them in the best produced area. And for anyone that was interested in today's podcast, the recording was done via Skype out. So it was my standard Skype setting, but set it to Skype out and called into their phone system. That's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hi, Rob. This is John.
And this is Jody.
From the He Said, She Said podcast.
We heard that you and your wife are trying to procreate, and we have some advice.
Yeah, it's fun and easy. You just put your hoo-ha into her woo-woo and let nature take it from there.
That's great advice, but I'm pretty sure they have that part figured out.
Oh, well, that's all I had.
That sounds about right. Seriously, all you need is lots of love and patience. You'll develop your own parenting style.
Yeah, tequila and Xanax help, too.
That's us. But if you want to hear about our life postpartum, tune in to the He Said, She Said podcast.
Yeah, please do, but be warned, this isn't a kid show or a show about kids. It is a show about our world and the world around us, from our sometimes twisted point of view.
We talk.
We play PodSafe music.
Sound see.
And interview interesting people.
You can find our feed at HeSaidSheSaidPodcast.com.
Good luck.
And remember, practice makes perfect.
Oh, yeah.